Planet Marsh with Pat McManus, possibly one of the nicest people I've ever met.
That's very kind. You haven't seen me early in the morning, though.
I find it very hard to believe that you could be anything other than happy and sad.
Oh, I can be grumpy enough. Grumpy old man, I think this is what they say now. No, I'm not too bad.
I saw your set the other day. I don't know if you could see all the way to the back, but it was crammed.
I know, it was interesting because, you know, when we started, there was I could see gaps in it. And then as we were finishing, it really filled up. So I was really, really pleased about that, you know, because, you know, it's an early slot to be playing. Mm. So you're always kind of like, oh, I wonder, is there going to be anybody bothering to listen to us or come in, you know? Because it's asking a lot of people to come in. They've been out the night before, you know, and they're just, you know, I'm sure there's a few hangovers involved there. But they were very good. They were actually very, very good. So it gives us a great lift, you know. It gives you great heart when you go out there to really play your best, you know. So from our point of view, it was brilliant, you know. I was well surprised.
No, they were definitely crammed in when I managed to sort of get in there. It's all round by the back and down.
Yeah. No, it was great. It was really, really, you know, it's a bit nerve-wracking. I don't tend to look too far, you know, because the older you get, the more nervous you get, you know. You think it would be the other way around, but it's not. Let me tell you, you get more nervous, you know. So
do you remember when you first started, you just like, yeah.
Oh, we didn't care. We didn't realise, you see. We had no idea. You know, we just used to do it. Oh, we're doing this, great lads. You know, and we did Nebworth, and you go out in front of 80, they'd say, no bother. The older you get, the more you think about it, the more scared you become. Yeah, let me tell you, that's the truth, you know. And I remember Muff Winwood telling me, Muff said that to me, and I thought, what's he on about, you know? And he said, believe you me, he says, it will happen to you. The older you get, the more nervous you become. So I was, you know, it made us feel, they got behind us and they made us really relax, you know. So from our point of view, it was great.
Oh, it looked fantastic.
Yeah.
Very relaxed. It was. You love it.
I love playing, you know. I mean, it doesn't matter what time of the day or whenever, you know. To me, it's a great honour. And to play to an audience like that, wow, it's just the icing on the cake as far as we're concerned, you know. We loved it, the lads and ourselves. We just wink at each other and go, yeah, that's great. Look at this. This is fantastic. And that's what it's all about, really, you know.
It is really good, though, because I got to watch you for the first time in Ibiza, and that was good crowd, but quite a small crowd.
Yeah.
And the next time I see you.
I know, and the funny thing about it is that some of the best shows we ever do is to a small crowd, because you know you can really get you can get eye contact with them, and it's really, you're really up close and personal, as they say.
Yeah.
And no, but it's brilliant because you can see the reaction on the faces. The bigger crowds are harder to judge because they're further away and you're just not quite sure what way, you know.
Yeah.
it's happening. So, you know, it swings and roundabouts, but to play to that many people and get the opportunity to do that for us, it's fantastic, you know, because we're kind of eccentric, the band, a little bit. It's not your normal sort of full-on, hard-on, raging rock music. I mean, we're a rock band, but it takes many different tangents off in different areas, like the violin and stuff like that. There's a Celtic influence coming through, and it's really just stuff that I grew up listening to. I wear my influences on my sleeve, you know. I don't pull no punches about that. I loved all the bands from Ireland, and I loved Deep Purple and ZZ. So that whole influence is mixed up. It's a whole melting pot of music.
Yeah.
that we sort of create, you know. So it's not one particular genre that we do, but we kind of cross over, you know. It's an eclectic mix of music. So sometimes I'm a bit worried about how the hardcore fans would take it, but they really are so receptive that they have no bother with it at all, you know. So, you know, a lot of credit goes to them.
Well, I think a lot of it is, if you see someone on stage that's really obviously really happy where they are, people respond to that.
Yeah, well, I think so many times I've seen bands in the past, you know, and you stand and look at them going, this guy would rather be anywhere than where he is at the moment, you know. But I've never ever felt like that. I've never, even be at a small gig, doesn't matter what size of venue, I've always wanted to get out and play, you know. It's a funny thing, it's kind of in the DNA. In my DNA, you know, I play music because I love playing music. No other reason. There's not the sex, drugs and everything else you can forget about. Really, I love playing music. That's what I'm obsessed about. And, you know, even when I'm in the van, I'll play the guitar, you know.
Yeah.
Or I'll hear somebody play and I'll try and learn something. You know, it's for me, it's a musical journey, and you're always learning. you know, and I always try to do that. So, you know, I'm all excited about the different new bands that are coming along. They're fantastic, you know. So music is, particularly rock music, is still very vibrant and still very much alive, and I think it's going to make a huge comeback. I really do feel that, because when I was around the first time it happened, right? Believe it or not.
Fashion comes back as everything.
Yes, but I can feel it. You can feel it. And I know things changed towards the end of the 80s and the 90s, the whole, but the undercurrent still remains. And it's just getting bigger again. I mean, I've got young kids coming to gigs, and I'm going, what are they doing here? You know? And they're going, oh, well, we love the music, you know? And so it's making a big, big turnaround again. And it's people like yourself who are exposing the bands and getting the bands exposure that really, really matter. Because, you know, you don't have the record companies now. They've fallen flat on their asses, basically, because they took their eye off the ball, and now they're suffering for it, because the bands are doing it for themselves, you know, and with the media that's there, with the internet, with everything else now, bands can continue on, and they don't need any of that there. They don't need the big conglomerates, you know, stealing all the money from them.
Make any.
If they make any, yes. Well, sadly, I was in that situation, you know. In the 80s, we were, you know, we went through a huge mega deals, and it all looked great on paper, but it meant nothing, absolutely nothing, you know. We were left high and dry. The minute they pulled the plug, you go, right, guys, what now? You know, what do we do now? You know, so this, it's made bands wake up also and diversify. Made bands diversify. You know, you'll find out that there are a lot of bands that do other things apart from the music, that to keep sustaining the what they do, you know. So we've all had a reality check. You know, it wasn't all tour buses, and, you know, the record companies would pay for all of that then, you know, and suddenly you realise that's all taken away in one fell sweep. What do you do after that? The guys are high and dry, they don't know what to do. So now bands have had a wake-up call, and particularly rock bands, they're fantastic at foraging around and getting different things and making things happen. And that's how the whole underground music, rock and roll, happened in the first place. It was an underground music. And now I feel this with the rock music today and the bands that this is coming all back again. And bands are more independent, and hopefully a lot of bands will make a lot more out of it, you know. You know, but I'm happy at my stage in life. You know, as long as I can pay the bills, that's all that really matters. I'm not interested in living in the Bahamas or Jamaica, you know. Rain-swept Northern Ireland do me quite well. Thank you very much, you know. I'm quite happy there. As long as I can pay my bill when it comes into the door, happy days.
do you remember what made you want to pick up the guitar for the first time?
Yes. It was my dad played the guitar. My dad was a great musician, and I remember being sent to bed. I was about 5 years old, and I could hear them playing and doing. He had a little band then, and they were all rehearsing there, and I just lay awake all night listening to them do the rehearsal. And I thought, how can I get to stay up and do this? I know what I'll do. I will learn the guitar. So, but I started on the violin when I was 5. So that was one way, and I could, by 7, I could master the violin quite well. And then at 7, I started on the guitar then, you know. And it was, you know, nobody taught me how to play the guitar. I just taught myself. My dad showed me 2 chords and said, you're on your own now, son. And he'd just stick his head around the door and say, you know, he was a great guy. He'd just say, I don't think that's quite right what you're trying to do there yet, you know. He never discouraged me, always encouraged, and then he'd pop his head round the door again and go, oh, you got it now, son, you got it right. And that's all he would ever say, that's all he would ever do, you know, and it's fantastic. So from that on, I just had the bug, because I could hear the guys play, and I just loved listening to the music. I'm a music fan as well.
Yeah.
No, not just a musician, I am a genuine music fan. I love all kinds of music, you know, and I still get excited to this day about music. You know, and I still go out and buy CDs or download whatever I can if it's a new band and they're exciting. I love it, particularly in the rock genre. That's what I love.
What was the last band that you got to go see?
The last band I went to see, oh, was The Who. Yes, yes, and the band that were on before them, Vintage Trouble. Have you seen that band? Oh, they're a fantastic American band. They're absolutely amazing. I went, they were in Belfast, and nobody in Belfast knew who these guys were that were playing before The Who, and they just blew me away. They were they're fantastic. They're kind of James Brown meets rock music. It's bizarre. It's brilliant. It's absolutely fantastic, fantastic band. And they did the whole Who tour, and then of course the Who came on, and they were just, it was amazing. It was just a spectacle. It was just fantastic. I just sat with my mouth hanging open all night long. Yeah, it was brilliant. That was about 6 months ago. They played Belfast, and it was the Quadrophenia. They did all of Quadrophenia, yeah. And then at the end of the show, they did all the great hits, and it was just like, wow, what a night!
You just
had to go, and I just said I was so glad went, you know, because I'm 2 hours away from what I would call a proper gig, you know, because I live out in the heart of the country, so it's a big effort to go there. It's 2 hours to the gig, another two, that's 4 hours of your day gone to go and see a concert, you know. But I was like full of it driving home that night, and we're talking about the different songs and how the band sounded, and of course the support band were just awesome as well, so that was a double added bonus, you know. So that was the last band I actually seen.
If you had some sort of weird split in time, if you could meet, say, your early self when you first started getting into music and
yes.
playing gigs and that, do you reckon you'd get along?
No, I think I had very tunnel vision. I might have been rather hard to work with when I was younger. Yes, so I probably wouldn't have liked what I'd seen at all. You know, I've mellowed a bit since then. But it was my two brothers, there were three brothers in total, and we used to lock horns all the time. And maybe I was the instigator of a lot of it, you know, and maybe I was a bit harsh on the guys, you know, and looking back now, so probably I wouldn't like myself if I actually, you know, but at the back of it all, I wasn't a bad guy, you know. We had one aim and one goal, was to play music, you know. Focused, very focused, yes. People would say that I was an asshole, but that's beside the point. I'm not going to say what they used to call me. I prefer focused.
Yeah, you have to have one focused person to
yeah.
drive it
yeah.
forward.
Yeah.
What would be the one bit of advice that you could say to people that sort of want to pick up the guitar in the moment?
Just if you want to do it, just do it for the love of it. Don't do it for any other material gains of any kind, because it won't work. People will see through it. People will see through it. And if you want to become a musician and to play to people, regardless of what genre of music it is, just play from your heart. That's the only place I know to play from. You know, I mean it when I do it, you know, and that's it. And some nights it's terrible, some nights it's great. And, you know, the great nights make up for the bad nights.
Have you ever had a really embarrassing moment?
Oh, loads of time. Yes, I've fallen off stage. Yes, in France, we were my mama's boys were supporting the Scorpions, and I actually didn't realise that when the Scorpions played, they normally carry their own stage with them. So that meant where the Leighton Truss came down, there was 10 metres of stage left. And this night we were announced onto stage in the dark, but they didn't tell me that the stage finished where the Leighton Truss came down. And the guy came out in French and announced the band, and went, "Mama's boys," and I just disappeared 10 feet down. Oh, disappeared. I really hurt myself, I cracked my rib. And the guys, the roadies are all, it was a real Spinal Tap moment, we're all looking, where's he gone? And I'm down amongst all the power amps. And they lifted me, hoisted me up on the stage, and I look around, my two brothers are just cacking themselves, laughing, right? And I thought, it's not funny. So I had to prop up against the Marshall amp and play with a cracked rib. So we got through it. And that's the only time I made a complete ass of myself. Yeah.
I've just got an amazing image of you going, la la.
Yes, yeah, no, please welcome Mama's boy. Gone. Now I look back, it was funny. It was funny. Another time I actually got so sunburned in America that I couldn't take my shorts off. I had shorts on because I was out sun myself, and I was so burnt, it was so painful to take them off. So the guys just propped me up against the amp and said, "You stay there now and play and don't move." And I just looked like this turkey from head to foot. There were in red blotches everywhere, and I really couldn't move. It was so painful. But it was so funny, because there's pictures of me somewhere, and it looks absolutely hideous. It looks hideous. So, yes, I've made a fool of myself quite a few times. A real, real fool of myself. Yeah. And there is pictures of that. They're not pretty.
It's a Google search moment.
Yes, they're knocking about. They definitely are. Well, what was he doing there? You know. But there is a story behind it, so...
Well,